We're in the book of Joshua. How many of you read a little bit of that Shadow of an Indian Star about my life and all the outlaws and everything? Some of you read some of that? Well, you know, now that was the Paul side of my family. How many of you ever heard of Bell Star? Bell Star? Okay, that was on my father's side of my family, the Star, Cherokee Indians. And they were pretty much desperados.
She was a mean woman.
Yeah, she was pretty rough. Now, something about Bell Star. How many of you know a little bit about Bell Star? All right. Well, Bell Star and John Shirley are very close relatives. Did you know that? John Shirley in this church. He's Shirley. Her name was Bell Shirley to begin with. Then she married Jim Reed, which was Marilyn's great-great uncle. Then she ran off from her husband. She had a couple of kids and ran off into Indian Territory and married my relative, the Stars. All right. Okay. A small world. I thought I'd throw that one at you. And then I want to tell you a story about, to begin with, kind of break the ice a little bit. There was a, and you know that I'm related to the Luigis. That was my step-grandfather, Lamucci. And I grew up around them. So I know a little bit about the Black Hand and everything. There was a boy that came from New Jersey, and he got in prison from, in the Mafioso. And he was in prison, and his father wrote him a letter and says, "Dear Vincent, I miss you so much at home, and I'm not going to be able to put in my tomato garden this year. I'm too old to get out there and dig up the backyard and dig up the garden and everything. And I know that if you were here, that you could help me, and we could get the garden in." So he wrote that letter to his son in prison. And his son wrote him a letter back. He said, "Dear Pop, don't dig up the garden. That's where the bodies are buried."
Oh, no.
And 4 o'clock the next morning, the FBI and everybody were out there digging up the whole backyard of his dad's home. Well, after that all happened, Vincent sent a letter back to his father, and he says, "Pop, under the circumstances, that's all I could do." Go ahead and put your garden in now. All right, Joshua. Joshua changed. I'm going to be going through these books quickly. Okay? We spent about 2 or 3 weeks in Joshua. Now, we talked about every 10 generations, basically something drastic changed. It was a great change. We talked about the first 10 from Adam to Lamech, and then Shem to Terah, and Isaac through Salmon. And as we study the book of Joshua, we see something ceases that Israel had had for 40 years since they left Egypt. How did God feed them?
Manna.
Manna means what?
What
is it? Okay. Manna means what is it? He fed them for 40 years. Well, when they came in, crossed into Jordan and came into the promised land, manna ceased. Because God had had the inhabitants of Palestine, Canaan land, he had them plant the gardens. It says you'll go into a land where the gardens, the vineyards, the orchards you did not plant, but they will be yours. And God said, "I will provide that for it." And he did. God knew way back in the days of Noah what kind of people these Canaanites would be, and they were cursed. Remember when Noah cursed his son Canaan? Well, these are the people. They are going into the land now, and he said they'll be a servant to you. All right? Now, in history, so many people got the idea that if you were black, that you were cursed and you were going to be slaves. That's what the excuses they use for having slaves, okay? But that it has nothing to do with this. I mean, they use this, but it has nothing to do. These Canaanites were the cursed people, not the sons of Ham. All right? Not the sons of Ham, but Canaan. All right. So they're coming into the land. Now, go over to about Joshua, the 7th chapter. Joshua, chapter 7. Let's look at this. Now, Joshua chapter 7. What dramatic thing takes place here? But the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things under the ban, for Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah, took some of the things under the ban. Therefore, in the anger of the Lord, burned against the sons of Israel. This is when they went into the Jericho and the different places. You know, they went into these cities. Now, what happened when they went into the next city now? What happened when they went into Ai? They got whipped. All right? And they wanted to know what was going on. Israel has sinned now. All right? Now, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Haven, east of Bethel, and said to them, "Go up and spy out the land." So the men went up and to spy out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all the people go up. Only 2,000 or 3,000 men need to go up to Ai. Do not make all the people toil up there, for they are few." So about 3,000 men from the people went up there, but they fled from the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down 36 of their men and pursued them from the gate as far as Shebarim. Now, what's different about this? Here we have Jericho. They went into Jericho. They walked around 7 different days blowing their horns. On the 7th day, they walked around 7 times, blew their horns and shouted. And what happened to the city of Jericho? The walls fell down. They walked in and conquered it. Everybody in that city was destroyed except for who?
Rahab.
Rahab the harlot. And I want to tell you, she was a harlot. The word in Hebrew means harlot. It's not an innkeeper. A lot of people say, well, she was an innkeeper. She was a harlot. It just shows you how God can forgive, doesn't it? Now, what did she do? How did she protect them? Is harlotry a sin?
Yes.
Of course it is. All right? It's using something that God gave you. She probably was a pretty woman. She was using her beauty and her ability and the desire that one man would have or men would have for her for gain. All right? That's wrong. What else did she do that was wrong that we find off right off the bat? How did she protect the men? Huh? She lied. She lied and hid them. Well, now, is lying a sin?
Yes.
Sure is. But she lied. Now, if she would have told the truth, where were they hid, by the way?
On the roof.
On the rooftop, in a bunch of flax. They would take great flax stalks up there and put them on the roof, and they'd hide it. She hid them in the flax stalk, but she lied. And a lot of rabbis, now you may not know this, but the rabbinical people just fought over this. Now, why did she sinned because she lied. Thou shalt not lie. Lie is like the death, is a death, the death penalty. But what would she have done if she had told the truth and said they're hidden up on my house? Did she believe the curse of God was upon those people?
Yes,
she did. She believed. Why, it talks about her in the book of Hebrews, doesn't it? And in the book of James, how that she had faith. And this faith caused her to lie to them. They weren't worthy. Were they? These people were not worthy. Let's go on a little bit further. So now we come out of there, and we have Achan stealing some stuff and kept some things that he wasn't supposed to keep that were under a ban. And the men I struck down about 36 of their men and pursued them from the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them down on the descent, so the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth and his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, both he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. This is a sign of mourning, isn't it? Okay? And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, why hast thou ever bring this people over Jordan only to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us, if only we had been willing to dwell beyond the Jordan? O Lord, what can I say since Israel has turned their back before their enemies?" All right. Now what happens here, he said, "Rise up," and he said, the guilty must be punished. The guilty must be punished. In verse 18, "And he brought his household near." We found out that there was a man of the tribe of Judah, and his name was Achan, and he brought his household nearer man by man. And Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I implore you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel," the covenant God of Israel. Okay? That's important. The Lord, the covenant Jehovah, the covenant God of Israel. "Give praise to him and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." So Achan said to Joshua, "Truly I have sinned against the covenant God of Israel. This is what I did. And when I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar." All right, that's Babylon. A Babylonian mantle. "And 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold 50 shekels in weight. Then I coveted them." What happened in the Garden of Eden? What happened in the Garden of Eden? Eve coveted, didn't she? She coveted. Just think about this for a while. What could Achan have ever done with this? Could he have ever worn it around? Could he have ever displayed this? Since it was under a curse? Could he have ever done anything with it? "I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath it." So Joshua sent messenger, and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was concealed in his tent with silver underneath it. And they took them from inside the tent and brought them before Joshua to all the sons of Israel, and they poured them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver. Now he took Achan. That took his loot and the mantle and the bar of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that belonged to them, and they brought them up to the valley of Achor. The valley of trouble, by the way. And verse number 25 and 26, Brother John.
"And Joshua said, 'Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day.' So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned him with fire after they had stoned him with stones."
Wow. 26.
Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day."
The Valley of Trouble. All right, this man was executed. He got his whole family killed. Everybody! Not only all he got all his family killed, but they killed all of his animals in his family. All of them are under the curse. Disobedience to God will not be tolerated. That's what he's telling them. When I tell you to do something, do it. They had gone before Ai and they got whipped easily, didn't they? Now let's go to another place. Maybe you haven't paid much attention to this little very important place in the Bible. You know, every word in the Bible is extremely important, isn't it? Do you think that? I've said I believe the Bible is inspired of God, and that every voice, tense, and mode in the original languages is inspired of God. It's there for a reason. And everything in the Bible is there for a reason. Let's go to Numbers, the 27th chapter. Verses 1 through 11. And then I want you to go to Joshua, the 17th chapter. Okay? Let's go back and look at Numbers 27, 1 through 11. Are you over there, Brother Mike? This is what's going to take a little time, but this is extremely important. You're going to see something here maybe you haven't seen before, but it's extremely paramount in the Bible. All right? Brother Mike, are you over there?
27, 1 through 11.
Yeah, 27, 1 through 11, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Numbers.
"Then the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, came near. And these are the names of his daughters: Mela, Noah, Hoglah, and Milcah, and Tirzah. And they stood before Moses, and before Eleazar, the priest, and before the leaders, and all the congregation at the doorway of the tent of meeting, saying..."
All right, now, Have you got the net right there where he is, where he ended up? Can you take off of there? Yeah.
Our father died in the desert. He was not among Korah's followers who banded together against the Lord, but he died for his own sin and left no sons. Why should our father's name disappear? Why should our father's name disappear from the clan because he had no son? This is property among our father's relatives.
All right, number Randall there, number 5.
So Moses brought their case before the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "The daughters of
Zelophehad
are right in your statements. You shall surely give them a
hereditary
possession among the father's brothers, and you shall transfer the inheritance of their father to them."
All right, so it says, now whoever these daughters marry, the inheritance, now in, remember in a family, the firstborn son was the heir, okay? The heir. Now, if a man had no sons, the daughters didn't have the inheritance. The daughters married into a new family. But here is an unusual exception to a rule, okay? It's an exception to a rule. And God said, do this. Now, what part would this play in future history in the New Testament? Just think for a minute. And let's go to Joshua, the 17th chapter. Joshua, the 17th chapter. Starting with verse 3. Joshua 17 and verse 3. Back in the book of Joshua. Are you over there, sister? Andino?
No.
Okay, not yet. Brother John.
The Zelophehad, the son of Hephar, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, had no sons, but only daughters. And these are the names of the daughters: Malah, Noah, Hoglah, Riklah, and Tirzah. And they came near before Eleazar the priest, before Joshua the son of Nun, and before the ruler, saying, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brothers. Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among their father's brothers. 10 shares fell to Manasseh besides the land of Gilead and Bashan, and were at the other side of the Jordan. Because the daughters of Manasseh received an inheritance among his sons, and the rest of Manasseh's sons had the land of Gilead."
All right, now here we have this really weird little story in the Old Testament. Okay? It's important. Go to Matthew, the first chapter. Matthew, the first chapter. The first book in the New Testament, okay? Matthew, the first chapter. Let's look at that. I hope I can get through this. This is I was trying to cram everything in one class here, because if I split this class up, you're not going to get the story. All right. Matthew, the first chapter. It says here, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, there are two genealogies of Jesus. Where are they? You're looking at one.
Matthew 1 and Luke.
Luke, the third chapter. Matthew 1. Well, let's go down through here and just look at this for just a minute. Now, the people, what's happening in the Old Testament is pointing like a great, shiny, gold-plated, shining, neon arrow to the New Testament. Okay, this is what I want you to understand. I know you don't know where I'm going right now. All right, but we're going to get there. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. To Abraham was born Isaac, to Isaac Jacob, and to Jacob Judah and his brothers. To Judah were born Perez, and Zerah, and Tamar, by Tamar. And to Perez was born Hezron, and Hezron Ram. Now, remember back in Perez, who was this, was born Perez? By Zerah, by Tamar. Remember about that? Huh? Well, you know, her husband died. And her father-in-law didn't like her. So she played a harlot and sat by the road, and so he saw her and he paid her for her services, and she got pregnant, and he was going to kill her. Remember that? In the Old Testament. Come find out it's his kid. And so he let her live. So here we have Perez. Now it took 10 generations for the adultery and fornication and the sin to cease here. All right? But we find out that they are in the lineage of Joseph. This is Joseph's lineage. This is not Mary's lineage. This is Joseph's lineage. We're going to find out we've got two lineages of Jesus, and both of them come through David. All right? One goes one way and one goes the other way. All right? Now, Judah were born Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and to Perez was born Hezron, and Hezron Ram, and Ram was born Amminadab, and Amminadab was born Nahashon, and Nahashon Salmon. And to Salmon was born Boaz by whom?
Rahab.
Rahab who?
Harlot.
The harlot. So she is in this lineage here. Okay? And to Boaz was born Obed by who?
Ruth.
We're going to be in the book of Ruth pretty soon. Alright? And to Obed, Jesse. Alright? And to Jesse was born David the king. And David was born Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Okay? Remember the first child? What happened with Bathsheba's first child and David's first child? God caused it to die because of their sin. He exposed them for what they had done. And to Solomon was born Rehoboam, and to Rehoboam Abijah, and Abijah Asa, and Asa was born Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat was born Joram, and Joram Uzziah, and Uzziah was born Jotham, and Jotham Ahaz, and to Ahaz Hezekiah. And was born Hezekiah Manasseh, and Manasseh Amram, and Amram Josiah, and Josiah was born Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, to Jeconiah was born Shealtiel, and Shealtiel Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel was born Abihud, and Abihud Eliakim, Eliakim Azor. And Azor were born Zodak, and Zodak Acham, and Acham Eliad. And Eliad was born Eleazar, and Eleazar Mathan, and Mathan Jacob. And to Jacob was born Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. That's very important in the New Testament. That Joseph was not Jesus' father, was he?
Biological father.
It was not his biological father. But through him, by him being married to Mary now, Mary, we're going to find out, Mary was a very important person. Do you know that Mary had no brothers?
What?
Did anybody know that Mary had no brothers? She had no brothers. Okay? So over here we're going to have the exception to the rule take place in the New Testament. All right? And here we have it set up. Now actually this line was cursed right here. Okay? This was a cursed line. Now go to Luke the third chapter. Luke chapter 3. Luke 3. Luke chapter 3. I think I'm going to get this thing in here, maybe. I was hurrying along here. Luke chapter 3. And verse 21. Here we have a Jesus began to preach. John the Baptist preaches. Jesus is revealed as the Messiah. All right? And verse number 21, Brother John.
When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." Now Jesus himself began his ministry of about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph.
All right, let's hold on right there. Supposedly the son of Joseph. Supposedly the son of Joseph. Now go back in that 17th chapter of Joshua and verses 3 to 6. What do you think that's pointing to? The exception to the rule in the Old Testament. If a father did not have a son, his inheritance went to the first daughter, or his first daughter. Now, how did that? What took place here? What took place? Let's go on and read a little bit further, and we're going to just explain this a little more. Supposedly the son of Joseph, the son of Eli. So now we have Eli here. Eli is who? That's Mary's father. Okay? Eli is Mary's father. Eli doesn't have any sons. Okay? The son of Matthath, the son of Levi, the son of Melchar, the son of Janae, the son of Joseph, the son of Matthias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Hesli, the son of Nagai, the son of Matthias, the son of Matthias, and the son of Simeon, the son of Josheth, the son of Jodah, the son of Jonan, the son of Risha, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Malchi, the son of Adah, the son of Gosan, the son of Eladam, the son of Ur, the son of Joshua, the son of Eliezer, the son of Jorim, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi. Look at here. The son of Levi. The son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, Judah, and the son of Jonam, and the son of Eliakim, the son of Maleah, the son of Manah, the son of Matthias, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, the son of Nashon, the son of Amminadab, the son of Admin, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez. Look at that. Perez. The son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Zerah, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg. What was a Peleg in the Bible? In the days of Peleg, the earth was divided. This is going way back, isn't it? This is tying all human history together. All the way back. The son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem. Remember what Shem means? What does Shem mean? Name or monument. The son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah. Look at that. Methuselah means what? When he's dead, it shall come to pass. The son of the dart. And the son of Enoch. Enoch is what? Teacher. The son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enosh, and the son of Zeth, and the son of Adam, the son of God. Who created Adam?
God
did. Now here we have the human line of Jesus Christ. This is how our Savior is related to you. This is how our Savior is related to you. Okay? This is the one. Now, what would happen? Here we have Joseph's lineage. Joseph should have been on the throne, shouldn't he? He should have been on the throne. He wasn't on the throne. Who took his place?
Herod.
Herod was not of the covenanted people of God at all, was he? Herod was a descendant of what?
Esau.
Now, Esau was not the heir, but Jacob was the heir. Now we have the devil got Esau's descended on the throne of Israel. What a joke. But Israel had accepted that. Why? Because Herod built him a great big palace temple. Okay? That's why. What's the Antichrist going to do in the last day? Going to build them a temple. Alright? They'll accept that temple. Alright? Here we have Elah. Alright? In verse 22. The son of Joseph, the son of Eli. Now, what Eli did, since he didn't have any sons, he adopted Joseph as his son, and Mary was not just some little run-of-the-mill girl. She had all the inheritance of her family, so Joseph received all of that inheritance. So we have a double inheritance. Joseph's got his, and Joseph's got Mary's. So we have them tied together, just like this. Right here. We have those things tied together. When the father had no sons, he would, the woman that his, or the man that his daughter married to, he would adopt him as an heir. And they would receive all the inheritance. Do you see how important it is now that all these little places in the Old Testament, you understand why we're studying the Old Testament? How many of you knew this?
Probably. Jim, I guess you knew this.
Anybody else know this, what we're talking about today at all? You ever heard this at all? Why do we have the two lineages in the gospel? One of them is the lineage of the king, and the other one, basically, they're both sons of David now. We went back through David both times, but now we see the Son of Man. The Son of Man. Genesis, the 3rd chapter, and verse 15. Let's look at that. This is extremely important. That's where it goes back, Genesis 3 and 15. We got all the way back to Adam and Eve now. All right, the Messiah, we find out the Messiah is going to come from where? Brother Mensick, are you back there?
No.
Not yet. Genesis 3:15. You don't have that one? Oh, okay. Brother.
And I will put enmity between you and the woman.
Now, hold on right there. Now, who's talking?
God.
Jehovah's talking. All right, he's talking. And he's talking basically directly to whom? No. They're all listening. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the serpent, which is the embodiment of Satan now. Nahash. Say that. Nahash. All right. Talking to Nahash now. Nahash is the deceiving serpent. And he's speaking to him. And say that again, Brother David, so we'll know what's going on. Now we have Eve and we have Adam over here listening. But he's talking directly to Satan. Okay?
And I will put enmity...
active hatred.
Between you and the woman.
Between who's you? The serpent.
The serpent.
Uh-huh.
Between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed.
Okay, hold on right there. Between your seed, who is his seed?
Right.
Every devil that he ever espoused on this earth, and especially the Antichrist to come. All right? And her seed. Her seed. Who is her seed? Singular.
Jesus
Christ, the one over here in Luke, the 3rd chapter. The one in Luke, the 3rd chapter now. That's who it is. All right? And what's going to happen?
He shall bruise you on the head.
All right? Who's going to get bruised on the head? The serpent, the devil. All right? Look over here in this path. We see here Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. I've got Ezekiel 28 written down in hand up there. We see the path of Satan. From the very back in the beginning of eternity past now, after he was created, for a while did he serve God. For a while he served God, didn't he? He glorified God. He was a beautiful creation of God. He had a good voice. He praised God, all this stuff. What does Lucifer mean?
Son of the morning.
Son, well, light carrier or son of the morning. All right. Light carrier or son of the morning. That which has light, he's a light carrier. But what did he become? Darkness. And it says, and God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth she became formless and void. And what was over the earth? Darkness. Darkness was over the earth. Who brought darkness? The son of darkness. He was a son of the morning, but he became the son of the dark. As you see this all the way back, we go back to the book of Job. We see how he has dealt with mankind, how he thrashed our race. Ephesians 2 and 2. Let's look at that one for just a moment. Ephesians 2 and 2. Ephesians 2 and 2. Any of y'all there? Anyone in Ephesians 2 and 2? Brother Randall.
In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air.
Go back to verse 1, brother.
And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air.
Hold on right there. But formerly you were dead in your trespasses and sins. When before we were saved, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We walked according to the course of Satan, according to his pathway. Look at his pathway here. His pathway, look at it, going all the way through time. Look, as he comes down on this earth, and then he's cast into the lake of fire, or into the bottomless pit, and kept there for 1,000 years, and then finally into the lake of fire. That's Satan's path. We walked according to the course of this earth. Go on, Brother Randall.
According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience.
All right. Energizing the sons of disobedience. That's what it is. Back there now, Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verse 15. Let's go back and look at that again, Brother David. Did you already leave there? Okay.
You want to read it over again?
Oh, read it over again, because we're going to understand it better now.
And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel.
All right. He shall bruise him as to the head. What is the word head in Hebrew? Rosh. That's a death dangling bone, people.
But it says, you shall bruise him as to the heel. What happened here? Where did they drive the nails in Jesus' feet? Right straight through his feet and coming out his heels. As to the heel. That was a crippling blow right here, people. A crippling blow.
Jesus Christ tasted death for us. The whole triune God experienced that death and that tremendous burden of sin that's upon us. Think about that for a while. Experienced the burden of sin. The pathway of Satan. And how are we walking when we come into this world? Look how God judged Achan. Do you think that might have been a little bit severe there? He killed his whole family, all of his wife, his children, his donkeys, his cattle, his goats, his sheep, if he had a dog. Whatever he had was killed. And they piled stones upon it and they set it on fire. Like it was profuse, profane, and poisonous. Because it was. My great-grandmother used to tell me a story. And I believe it was talking about her great-grandmother's first husband, which was Reverend McClure. Reverend McClure was a Presbyterian minister from Scotland. And they came over to this country, and he became a missionary among the Chickasaw Indians in Mississippi. He lived there with them for many years. They were a godly people. He didn't really saw. He said, these people believe in God. They're godly people. So he just lived there. He married a woman called Elatika, which was my great-great-great-grandmother. And when they displaced them out of Mississippi, he came on the Trail of Tears with them. In the meanwhile, he was bitten by a rabid dog. My grandma said that they sent for a madstone. A madstone was the only known cure for rabies. The only known cure for rabies. How many of you ever heard of a mad stone? Almost all cultures. You heard of one, brother. All right. What it was a porous stone that came out of an animal, any animal. It can come from a fish. It can come from a deer. Even a dinosaur. They call them bezoar stones. What they did was taken where the dog bit them, and this is the only remedy that they had at that time, and they would take it and soak it in whole milk, and they would take it and put it on the wound. And supposedly, it would stick to that wound and draw out the poison. Finally, when it fell off, they would take it and put it in milk again. And they said poison would come out, and they stuck it back on the wound again until it didn't stick anymore. In history, if you look it up on the website, you'll find out that they used this for thousands of years. The Lee Penny in Scotland came from Arabia. And that was part of the ransom for a prince of Arabia over there someplace in there, and they kept it. And they tell, if you look up Lee Penny on the internet, you can see that was a madstone. Okay? It cured, magical cures. Well, they couldn't find one. So they went home. Now, my grandmother tells this story. She didn't give the names. But she said they took this man, he and his best friend, took him out in the woods, away from his family. He said, now, it's going to be bad. He said, I want you to take me out there. And they put a chain around his neck. And they tied him to the tree. And they put the chain around his neck so he couldn't get it off. Tightened it up. And he stayed there with him. When he got real bad, he asked his friend to kill him. But he said he couldn't do it. When he finally died, he carefully took the chain off of him, off of the tree, and had a big brush pile out there, and they put the man and everything he belonged on the brush pile and set it up on fire and burned it up. Because rabies, what they call hydrophobia, is what my grandmother called it, was extremely contagious, and there was no cure for it. And it was a terrible, terrible death. When they heard about a hydrophobic dog coming into their camp or something, people would just be scared to death. Because there wasn't any cure for that. Except for that mad stone. And whether they really worked or not, I don't know. I've got one. Found one in the fish. It's like a shape like a heart, just like the Lee Penny. But now let's look in the Bible. Let's look in mankind, among mankind. We're looking at the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua is talking about triumphs, and every time that Israel sinned, there was punishment, wasn't there? And Joshua was a courageous man, wasn't he? He was a courageous man, trying to lead God's people into the promised land. We see conquest there, but we see a tendency always to go back to the flesh, don't we? Always to go back to the flesh. Now, we know, according to Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, that we are children of the world, aren't we? We're all Adam's sons. We looked in Matthew, the first chapter. We looked in Luke, the third chapter. And we see that we are part of the human race, don't we? What is the, according to Hebrews, the ninth chapter, verse 27, verse 28, what is our end result?
Die once and
then the judgment. Die once and then the judgment. We're all going to have to die. It says, for we all die. It says in the book of Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All die. We all die because of sin. And sin is indelibly in us. But we have a cure, don't we? Is there a cure? Huh? What kind of cure do we have? In Luke, the third chapter, what do we have there? Luke, the third chapter, we have our Messiah born of a woman. The seed of a woman and our Savior and the one that can save us. The one is the cure-all. They had the mad stones back then. Whether they worked or not, they don't know. But what? We have the real thing. We have an absolute guaranteed cure, which is Jesus Christ. The remedy. And what can Jesus Christ do for you? When you're born into this world, you're indebted to sin. He pays that debt, doesn't he? When we're born into this world, we're helpless and we're slaves to sin. When we're born again, we're set free. We're free. Free. God gives us the power. It says there that we once were one according to the course of this world, but now we are sons of God. We are heirs of God. As the women in the Old Testament, the men that didn't have any sons, they made that exception to the rule. An exception to the rule was, let your sons marry a man, and then you adopt that man. You adopt him. In Matthew, we have Joseph. In Luke, the third chapter, we have Mary. And Eli adopts Joseph, and he becomes the head, and he is the representative head. That child now is going to be the heir, the double heir. A double heir. A double heir of David. The lion of the tribe of Judah, one of these days, according to the book of Revelation that we're in, the Revelation this afternoon at 4:30, and we'll be teaching that class today. Thank you for your attention today. I appreciate it. And Dr. Mensick, do you want to take a few minutes? No? All right. Anyway, I hope this class was important to you. I hope it tied those things together. We're going to go next week into Judges, and we're going to look at Judges. By the way, we're on page number 60, probably 63 or 64 in your workbook. We have those. If you want one of those Bible in 8 ages, we have some of those over there. They're $15 a piece, and we're on page about 300 and, let me see here, 306, 308, 310, somewhere around there as you're going through that study. Are you enjoying this study? Are you learning things in it? I hope you are. I tried to bring out some things in here that you don't normally get. Some people, it just bores them because you can't get that deep in God's Word. A lot of people don't want to go that deep. They just want to just look at the little candies and everything. But we're digging deep into God's Word. Brother David.